Thank you so much, Sister Sally, for that word of encouragement. Can you imagine that? Moses telling people to stop. But we're not going to tell you stop. We're not. You have a we want you to continue. Glory to God. But that's wonderful to know that our God is a big God. He just requires our obedience. And it's to our benefit when we obey the word of God. And so, you know, even before I call on Pastor Ayida, we're looking forward to hear God's word for us today, because we know that his word is, we would always say this, timeless and timely. Amen. And so the word of God, that's, you know, when you and I are so focused, we focus to what, as the word will be ministered to us, please hear me. It's to your benefit and mine. Let us not allow a lot of distractions, but Lord, help me to listen to you, to your voice today, as your word is being ministered to us through your faithful servant. Amen. And so we are so thankful for another opportunity that God has given us to be together once more. Amen. Pastor Yid and Pastor Lou, and thank you so much for being in partnership in the work of the Lord. Amen. As we welcome Pastor Yid, praise God. Glory to God.
You know, it's amazing. I'm not preaching today, Pastor Lewis. That's okay. That's okay. But I was sitting here and I said, Lord, I have a word for the church. And so she was led of the Holy Spirit to call me because I have a word for the church. And so as we were driving down today, I believe, Lord, the Holy Spirit just downloaded this word in my heart and in my spirit for you. And so I heard the voice of the Lord say this. Mindsets that were ungodly and were unholy have been broken. And the chains that have bound you and enslaved you and contained you and restrained you have now been broken and you've been set free. And it matters to me how you go into the new year. So how you exit this year matters to me, saith the Lord. And so exit on a high plane. Exit this year on a higher plane than you came into this year. Go out knowing who you are in me. Go out knowing who I am to you. Go out knowing that I am the God that makes the impossible possible. Go out, exit out of this year knowing that I have called you more than a conqueror, because you have overcome the wiles and the schemes of the enemy. Though this year he tried to contain you, he tried to immobilize you, he tried to crush you, he tried to press you down, he tried to take you off course, he gave you distractions this year. But because of who I am in you, I caused you to override and overcome. And so I say to you, the new and living way church, my bride, my sons, my daughters, I say to you today, you're going into the new year on a higher plane. You're going to rise up into higher planes and higher levels, because I'm calling you up, saith the Lord. I'm calling you up higher. When I call you up. When I call you out. So even though this year was challenging, this year for some was like no other year, you came through gold. You're standing. You're praising. You're worshiping me. You are serving me even through the storm, even through the trial. You're giving me love and worship even through the trial and through the storm and through the tribulation. So I say to you, I honor you. I honor your faith. I'm going to take you deeper than you can imagine. I'm going to take you higher than you've ever been. For those who have been proven faithful, God says, I call you up and I call you higher. And so I would say to you today, you don't have the spirit of quit, therefore you could not have quit. Oh, some have been discouraged here. Some have been dismayed. And I know for some you've wanted to throw in the towel. But because you don't have the spirit of the quitter, you have the spirit of the winner. You did not quit. You said, Lord, even though I be discouraged, yet I will praise you. Lord, even though I feel what I feel, yet I will lift up my hands and give you the worship that you deserve. So I say to you today, it matters to me how you enter the new year. Go in with radical faith, believing for what the enemy says is impossible for you. Go into the new year knowing who I am. I am the God that took my people out of Egypt though they were in bondage. And I caused the Israelites, I caused the Pharisees, I caused the Sadducees to give to my children a hundredfold return for your troubles, for your trials, and for your storms. I declare unto you, gold and silver the enemy will have to give you. Gold and silver, those that took from you will have to repay to you. For I am not only the God of restoration, but I am the God of restitution. And so may 2019 be the year that you claim a marker year for your life. You're going in as free men because I set you free. You're going in saved because I saved you. You're going in healed because I healed you. You're going in restored because I've restored you. You're going in strong, saith the Lord, because I'm the God that parts the seas before you, because I'm the God that goes before you. And so let the enemy know this day, you are defeated. You are under my feet. We are the head. We are not the tail. We are above. We're not beneath. We are not victims. We are victors. And so 2019 shall be a banner year. I'm declaring it for my children who can and will believe, a Jehovah Nissi year in their lives. A banner year. A banner year, saith the Lord. I give you love. I give you hope. I give you faith. And I have given you the victory. This saith the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Look what the new year gave me. 12 months ago I was up here with a full head of hair. Well, I decided to do away with pride. Because pride, you know, when you take the treatment of chemotherapy, you start to lose your hair. So I had a little bit of hair here, a little bit of hair here, there, and here, there, here. And I said, this looks a lot better than having little chunks all over the place. And I agreed with the Lord, and I made a vow to the Lord that I'm going to serve him till I go home. Whether that be a year or 2 years or 10 years or 100 years, I'm going to serve him till the day I go home. I haven't stopped since last year. Since last year, I have been serving him. I have not stopped going on mission trips, stopped giving, stopped doing for his cause.
Thank you.
I'm going to go home serving him.
Amen.
So that makes me happy anyway. I got to tell you, for those of you who remember Mr. Clean, here I am. In my church, I started the first 5 Bald Eagle Club. We got 5 bald men in the church. Although I'm believing my hair is coming back, so I'm not going to worry about that. If it doesn't come back right, I don't care how it comes back. Just come back. Amen. But I'm okay with this. It feels nice and cool though, you know. But in the winter, it's not good. It's cold. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. You know, I've always said it, that God goes before me wherever I go to speak to the people of the house. And Sister Sella this morning starts with the presence of God.
Yes.
What did I do the last time I was here? I talked about the presence of God and letting God rule your way. You just do what God tells you to do. When I sang to you, one of the sisters got healed that day, and I just sang to her, and then God did what he was going to do. She received, I don't know who else was touched by that, but I got to tell you, you got to do what God tells you to do. You know, I get tired, but not from preaching. I get tired from doing all other kinds of junk. But when I get into the presence of God, I know who's with me. You see? When I know God is with me, I got all the power I need. I'm like the ever-ready buddy. When I got those batteries, when he says, okay, Lou, go, I'm going. because He's the one that's going to sustain me. He's the one that's going to lift me up. He's the one that's going to put the words in my mouth to speak into your life. Last time we were here, Aida preached to you about faith and the words that you speak and how important it is for you to hold on to those words because they're powerful. Because when you speak, you're speaking life into your own life. You're speaking life into your family. You're speaking life into your children. You're speaking life into what God wants you to do. Are you hearing me? Amen. So this morning I'm going to talk about the presence of God. How to get into the presence of God. How to stay in the presence of God. Will you be able to stay in the presence of God all the time? No. No, you won't be able to stay there. Because in and of ourselves, we don't have the capacity just to stay in there like God would like us to, like it to be. Because God would want you to be in His presence all the time. Because if He's in your presence all the time, you are listening, you are doing exactly what He's telling you to do, and you're going to stand out. You are going to stand out to everybody else in the church because you're going to be different. You're going to be very different. And so the presence of God is important to us. It is so important to us. I think I told you that last time I was here. The presence of God, you should seek the presence of God more than anything else. You know, Sister Sally said about how richly they gave when they went to give to build the ark, the temple rather. But remember when David did the same thing. To raise money, because he couldn't build the temple, he was raising money. He was like a fundraiser, and the people, as they gave, by the time they got home, they had more. Now you think about that. You give here, wherever that temple was, wherever David had his temple or wherever had his gatherings, they gave money there, and by the time they got home, they had more to give. Now you think about a quick return on your money. You have to think twice before saying to yourself, oh, this car is better or this TV is better than putting it into the kingdom of God. There is nothing on this earth that's going to give you a better interest rate than you investing into the kingdom of God. Amen. Are you hearing me? There is nothing you can invest into. You can invest into stocks. You can invest into gold. You can invest into silver. Nothing is going to give you the return that God will give you when you invest into His kingdom. You see, so many times we are confronted by financial planners and salespeople who want you to invest money. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with investing money. But when you invest more money everywhere else, and you give God what's left over. Now I'm talking way above your tithe. I'm not talking about your tithe. That's a give. That's a give. That's like living water. You give, it belongs to God, period. But above that, when you start investing money into God's kingdom, you want to know about the presence of God. When God starts to show up against your... You're doing, you're giving, you're touching, you're investing. See, most of the times we as Christians invest really into ministries that we're not even involved with. We just see a good cause and we invest. You invest in the Samaritan Press, right? You put everything in there. But you don't actually ever see the kids that you give it to. Isn't that something? But that's giving. That's the giving that we should all be doing. That we should be investing into the kingdom of God so abundantly that you can't hold the blessings that God will put back in you. You see, because when God can trust you, when you get into the presence of God and He can trust you with what He has given you, there's no limit to God. There's no limit to what God will do for you. But that presence of God, one won't get there if you're far away from Him. If you're doing everything far away from what He has asked you to do. Now, I know many, many of you here travel. I travel. We all travel. And we all love to enjoy life. That's okay. God made it that way. Isn't that true? But, you know, most of us here, that if you go on a vacation like that, you spend $7,000, $10,000 easy on a 2-week vacation. But then you come back here and somebody says, we need $10,000 to build a room, or we need $10,000 to start some churches. Oh, no, not for that. You see what I mean? You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's so easy to spend $10,000 on that, but not $10,000 on the kingdom. And yet the kingdom will bring you a lot more reward than that trip does. How many of you have gone on those trips, right? And you come home, and 2 weeks later, you forgot everything about the trip. There isn't much left. The pictures, that's all we got. It's all over. You go out and buy a brand new car, what do you have? A year later, it's not so brand new anymore, huh? It's got a dent in it. Somebody crashed it on the back. It's not new anymore. You don't have that fresh smell anymore. Now you got that smell of tomatoes and juices and all kinds of stuff in the car. But you see, the presence of God is fresh and new every day. The presence of God is what's going to lift you up every single day and keep you steady with Him. He never gives up on us. Never. No matter how you feel, how far you feel from being with God, He's right there with you, just waiting on you. Waiting on you to take the next step to get closer to Him. And you know, and I pray that what I'm going to share with you this morning will touch some part of your heart, because that's where it begins. Because if it starts here, there's a lot between here and here to disturb it. Isn't that right? When you come to church on Sunday mornings, when you receive the word, the first place it goes is right here. It goes into your intellect. It goes into your brain. But we need to get it where? We need to get it down to the heart. But between the brain and the heart is a big distance. It's called, what is it? Is it 19 inches, they said? From here to here? Is that right? About 19 inches? That's why they say there are many people that are going to miss the kingdom of God by 19 inches. Because they have God up here, but not in their heart. See, you can say that you're a child of God up here, but are you a child of God in your heart? And when you're a child of God in the heart, there's a difference about us, isn't there? There's a difference the way you talk. There's a difference in what you give to. There's a difference in what you're involved in. There's a difference in what you watch. There's a difference in what you say. There's a difference in the way you sing. I love that part. I love that part. So God is an awesome God. You know, right from the very beginning, God chose to live with us. Right from the very beginning. He put Adam and Eve on earth, and He said, go, multiply, do it. And what separated them from that relationship? Sin. Isn't that interesting? They knew they sinned instantly. They knew they had done wrong instantly when they ate of that fruit. I always used to call that an apple, until some sister in the church, he says, we don't know what that fruit was. He said, well, that was an Adam's apple. That's what I got it from. Remember when everybody used to say, this is an Adam's apple? Nobody remember that? This is an Adam's apple? So I thought I connected that with an apple, but it's a fruit. She disobeyed, and he went along. And they knew instantly that they had sinned. Instantly. Do you know instantly when you sin?
Yeah.
Right? You know why? Because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts you. Believe me, if you sin and you don't feel conviction instantly, and I've said this before to you, you better check yourself out. Go down to a tune-up. Get a tune-up, a spiritual tune-up. Because you may be missing some spark plugs that you need to be in tune with the Lord. So right from the very beginning, God came down and he wanted to be with us. Then he chose, as Celia said, he wanted to live among his people. He wanted to live among his people again, and he built an ark. He built the ark and he put himself inside the temple, and that was the presence of God among his people. And you can imagine, he was among his people and they still sinned. And they still did wrong things. And they still did all the things different than what he wanted them to do. Right there. That was the presence of God right there in their midst. And they saw the good that he did. He protected them against their enemies. He got them into the land of promise. Of course, the ones who saw the land of promise were the children, were the young ones, because the old goats that were over 20 years old didn't get in. The old goat, 20 years old. So they didn't get into the promised land. It was 20 and under. But we know one thing, that whatever he promised us, he did. When he said that he would be with us forever, he meant it. He is with us today. The day you accepted Jesus Christ in your life, the day you said yes to Jesus, you brought the presence of God into your life. The problem is, you brought it in that first moment. You felt all sticky gooey. Ooh, ha, ha, you were crying. This feels so good. I'm forgiven of my sin. And you felt all that compassion. You felt all of the Spirit of the living God in you. And you felt that in your life. And you said, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to serve you. Now, did you serve him right away? Did you begin to serve him right away? Because we didn't know. So we had to learn. We had to learn how to serve our Lord. We had to learn how to pray to him and how to be with him and how to do the things that he told us to do in the Bible. So we had to learn all those things. But once you learn them, then the key is, are you obeying? Are we obeying and doing what God has called us to do so that we can be in his presence? All that God is looking for us to do is for us to want him. That's all God wants. Because if we want him, the more of him that we have, the more we're going to obey. The more we obey, the closer we are to him. And the more closer we are to him, he gives us other things to do. But if he can't trust you in doing one thing and you're going to disobey in one, then he's not going to trust you to do something somewhere else where you're in disobedience here. Are you hearing me? But all he is looking to do is to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us. A personal relationship. Your wife might be closer to him, closer and have a closer relationship, but that doesn't mean that you have a close relationship with him. Or your husband may be closer in having a relationship with the Lord and getting into his presence, but that doesn't mean the wife has. You want both to be on the same plane. Both looking for that presence, wanting that presence, desiring that presence. I'm telling you, when you're in the presence of God, you never want to get out of it. You never really ever want to get out of it. Everyone here, I think, has been to a meeting where the presence of God has flowed. You don't want to put an end to a service like that, right? You never do. You never really do. But we have to. We get to the point, okay, we got to go home. We really don't have to, but you do it for the purposes of keeping people in the church. Because whenever you have sometimes the presence of God, you have a 5-6 hour meeting. Oh, I'm not coming back to that church. 5 or 6 hours? Oh my God. I didn't feel no presence. You bet you didn't feel the presence because you didn't want it. You didn't desire it. You got into your flesh. And your desires for your flesh got greater than your desire for God. How many times has that happened to all of us? All of us. It's happened to me. It's happened to Pastor Aida. It's happened to everybody in this room. And it disappoints God. It disappoints him. Because all he wants is a deep relationship with all of us. He wants to be able to talk to us and us talk to him. What a great relationship that is. One question I have this morning is, do you personally understand what the presence of God means to you? How important that is to you? Do you know what that means to you? Can everybody say an amen to that? It's important you understand why that relationship is important. Because if you don't have a relationship with the Father, you got a relationship with something. But it may not be the Father. It may just be your own mind, your own desires, your own ways, your own traditions, your own way of thinking, and it might not be God's way of thinking. But sometimes church can be that way. Church can be that way. You know, church can get it. Every church can get into a tradition. Every church can get into traditions. Every one of them. The Catholics, the Protestants, the Pentecostals, every one of them can get into traditions and get hung up on different things that we treat as religious. So you have to be very careful, don't we? We have to be very careful we don't get hung up on the flesh and get out of the Spirit. Because the moment you get hung up on a tradition, that becomes more important than what God is saying. That becomes more important than God's Word. And you run into a lot of problems. And there are a lot of churches, well, namely the big Catholic Church is the biggest one that has gone in on the other side of the fence with that. Tradition from the moment you walk into the church to the last minute you get out, 30 minutes later. I think I've already said this morning in terms of the awesomeness of understanding of what it means to have Him on your side and be close to Him. But you know, the interesting thing is that we're going to believe what the Word of God says about His presence. The moment you accepted Jesus Christ, you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that came to live inside of you. Did He not? Did He not? Do you believe the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit lives within you? Amen. Do you believe that each one of them has a job to do inside of you? Yes. The greatest thing we have to believe, do you believe that He wants out? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit wants out of you? Because He wants out so that He can touch other people through you. He wants you to speak His Word. He wants you to speak and pray His Word. He wants you to believe. He wants you to obey so that the Holy Spirit comes out and touches other people with the Spirit of Jesus, with the Spirit of what He did on the cross. Do you believe God wants to teach you? Who did He give us? Who did He give us to teach us? The Holy Spirit. But you got to let Him out. You got to let it out. You just can't get it. You just can't receive it in church. You just can't study it in a Bible study and don't let it out. You got to let the Holy Spirit out of you. You got to let Him touch other people through you. Are you following me? The Holy Spirit is in this to work. There are many Christians that are going to live their life and live it all, and they're going to go to heaven, never ever experiencing the living God that lives in them. To touch other people. To share the gospel. To give. To share a warm tone of love. Of compassion. To bring healing to a person. To bring salvation to a person. There are many Christians that are going to go to heaven that won't ever experience that. Only because they chose to disobey what God told them to do. Obedience is the only thing that's going to get them out. Obedience to believe what God says. Did He say that He empowered us to do all these things? Did He say that He gave us power to heal the sick? Did He not? Didn't He say He would give us what we need to feed the poor? Did He tell us that everything we need He would give us? That's what He said. So if we believe that, then why aren't we doing what He tells us to do so that He can give us more? Those of you who have obeyed and have done it, know it. You know it. You know that He has been there. The moment that you have shared Christ with someone else, you knew Christ was right there with you. The presence of God was right there with you. The moment you give to somebody and you see the tears running down their eyes because they're so happy that you gave to them and you met their need. Who met their need? You did. You were the servant Did God give you the wherewithal to get everything you need to give them? Yes. God gives you everything you need to get His purpose done. And you get to play a role in it. You get to be blessed with His presence. You get to be blessed with His words. You get to be blessed with His love, with His compassion, with His tears. I mean, this is something else. The presence of God may not make everybody, that doesn't talk about prosperity, that doesn't talk about faith, and that doesn't, you know what? If you're not walking in His presence, all the others don't mean anything. Are you hearing me? If you're not in His presence when you're doing all of those things, you're doing it out of the flesh, you're doing it out of what you know. Doesn't do anything for Him. But when you do it in His presence and do it His way and do it with the love that He has given you to share with other people, things begin to happen in you. That's the most incredible thing. It's not, you're not only just helping somebody else. Something begins to happen in you, each and every one of you. And that's what you want from the Lord. You know, going through this thing in my life, through this treatment, which is now about a year since it was last December when I started, the one element, and Aida will attest to this, the one element that I have searched more than any, is to stay in His presence. Stay in His presence. Stay in His presence. It's so easy to give up in your flesh. It's so easy to complain about the pain or the treatment or this, and it's so easy to complain about the injections and the infusions, and it's so easy to give up. It's so easy to say, no more, I don't want any more of this. It is easy to do that. It's harder to stay above the fray. It's harder to just to stand against it and say, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going where everybody else wants me to go. Because sometimes some people will say, you know, they'll come out with good intentions, right? They'll come to you and say, oh, bendito. You know, they pity you. They bring pity on you because you're going through this and you're doing it. No. My God is not a God of pity. My God is a God of restoration. My God is a God of healing. My God is going to walk with me wherever I am. And His presence is what I seek more than anything else. His presence is where I want to stay. Because He keeps me strong. He keeps me up. I could have turned over a whole different way and just said, well, that's it. I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm not going to teach anymore. I'm not going to do nothing anymore. I'm just going to sit in bed and just until I heal. No, it doesn't work that way. Because God said He will take care of me. He will take care of me so that I can get His work accomplished, and He will take care of me. So we have no excuse to say to the Lord, well, Lord, you know, I got a little cough today. I can't go out today to visit the poor, to do this and to do that and to that. No. He said, you go and do what I told you to do, and I'll take care of you. Are you hearing me? Yes. When you can live your life, let me go back. Forget that, what I was going to say now. And I think this might shed more light on what I'm saying here. The greatest fear that most people have when they're told they have stage 4 cancer is death. Isn't that right? I felt it instantly. It didn't take me long. I mean, he said stage 4 cancer. And I don't know where my mind went at the time, but it wasn't in the room anymore. Because I was thinking of all the things negative. Everything that was going to happen. Oh, I'm going to die young. Oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, what a horrible thing. How can this be? Why me, Lord? Huh? Why me, Lord? See, you go through all those phases. So the biggest thing that you have to conquer is death. Because once you conquer death, once you conquer that thought that the devil put in your mind, Because Jesus is not about death. He's about life. So, I know Jesus didn't send that thought to me. And the moment I got closer and closer to the Lord, I think it took about a week of constant prayer and constant getting him before the Lord and his scriptures and his word and being in the presence of God every day. I conquered that. Now you can talk to me about that and it doesn't faze me. I'm sharing it with you. I couldn't do that before. I've conquered it because that's the greatest fear. And once you conquer that, because you know, if you die, where are we going? I'm going to a better place. A much better place. I'm not confessing I'm dying. I'm not going to confess that. What I'm saying is, that's nothing to fear. You just go on with God, seeking His presence, and He keeps guiding me, and He keeps sharing with me, and I keep wanting to do His will always. No matter what. Right now I have numbness in my hands. I have numbness in my feet. Now I could have said, no, but you know, I can't stand, I can't do this, I can't do that. No. That's the devil trying to get me to change my mind about doing God's work. I'll never stop preaching God's word. Never. I'll never stop saving souls. I'll never stop helping the poor. I'll never stop planting churches. I'm not going to stop. You know, and this is, everything I go through is not for me. It's to help someone else. Conquer. To conquer. Because God called us conquerors. We are more, in fact, we are more than conquerors. We're not just a everyday conqueror. We are more than conquerors. Everything in your life you can conquer. Everything in your life. I don't care how bad. I don't care how serious. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. It just matters what God says. It just matters what God says. Because I got to tell you, you know, if it weren't for my hair, nobody would know I was sick. Unless I told them. Really, it's true. Because unless I tell you, nobody knows I'm sick. I don't have discoloration. I don't have yellowness. I don't have nothing in my body. I don't even have aches and pains other than for the numbness that I have. But if I didn't tell you, you wouldn't know, would you? And it's there, and I just keep going. I get on a phone call with somebody who's talking about the Lord or talking about whatever I'm talking about. I don't even think about it. You know why? Because my focus is Him. God in you is with you when you are worried, when you have lack, when you have fear, we're just talking, when we have sickness in our bodies, and many other things. God is always there with you. And before you seek anybody else, seek Him in your presence, always. Know that you know, pray until you know He's there with you. Pray and praise Him and worship Him. What does the Bible say? He inhabits the praises of His children. You want to praise, you want to get into His presence quick? Praise God. Praise Him with your words. Sing to Him. I sing to Him love songs all the time. All the time. I make up songs as God gives them to me. I think I shared that 2 months ago, last time I came. It's so simple that you can get into His presence just by praising Him and worshiping Him. You could do that in your car. You could do that at home. You could do that anywhere. And the moment that you begin to praise Him, He's there. Isn't that the most incredible thing? I heard some pastors say that many years ago. How long does it take to get into the presence of God? Like that. The moment you say, I praise you, Father. That's it. You're in His presence. You've arrived. There's not a long road. There's not a long journey. You don't have to go so many miles. You don't have to go so many feet. He's right here. I praise you, Father, because you are so wonderful. Thank you, Father, that you love me. You can thank Him. You know, If you've never done it, I want to challenge you to go home and do it for 15 minutes and just praise Him. Thank Him for everything He's done in your life. Everything. From the time you came from the Philippines here, where you were in the Philippines to the Philippines here, you probably got more than 15 minutes to talk about. But take those 15 minutes and just praise Him. And then bring those praise reports back to Pastor Monette. I'm telling you, it's awesome. Just 15 minutes. I usually do that a lot in my car. And I just praise Him and I praise Him and I praise Him. And I praise Him and I praise Him and I praise Him. It's just awesome. And you sing, everybody's got a CD player or a little Wi-Fi, whatever. Put those puppies to work in a car or in a house or wherever it may be and just sing things. Just by yourself. You don't even have to be with anybody else. It doesn't have to be a duo. Doing it by yourself is even better. It's just you and Him. You and the Father. I'm just going to take one scripture. I had many scriptures to share with you this morning, but I'll just take one. And go to John 15, verse 3. Are you there?
Yes.
John 15, and we're going to read verse 3 through 8. You are already clean because the word which I have spoken to you, because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. Abide means to live. Live in me. When you live in something, it is part of you. It is part of your life. You go home to live in a home, right? We go to work at a workplace. You live in a workplace. You live at home. It's a place you make a permanent place in your life. And that's what God is saying. Live in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself and you are the branch. So you can do nothing without God. You can try. You can sure try to do a whole lot of things. A lot of Christians do a lot of things without God. But He is saying, you are the branch. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. And the vine is Jesus. So unless you and God are doing something together, it will bear no fruit. And our purpose is to bear fruit. Is it not? The Bible says that we are to bear fruit and much fruit. Much fruit. So we should constantly be finding ways to bear fruit. And the first way we get that is by having that personal relationship with the Father. You get that right, everything else will fall into place. And so, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you. Unless you abide in me. So we could do nothing without Jesus. You can try. In fact, you can give money without Jesus. It won't have the same fruit as if you gave it with Him. In agreement with God. Are you hearing me? See, that's why sometimes when you pray to God and you don't hear anything, don't do anything. If you're looking to do something for God, And He's saying, no. In fact, it doesn't even have to be for God. It could be something in your own personal life. Just buying a house or doing something where you're going to spend money and you're asking for prayer of the Lord. If the Lord says nothing, don't do nothing. Don't move ahead on your own thinking. Wait till He will give you an answer. Somehow He'll give you an answer. And the answer may not come the way you think it's coming. It may come through somebody else telling you something. But He will give you an answer. But a no answer, and not getting an answer doesn't mean no. It just means He's just not going to answer you right now. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. That's clear, isn't it? That's clear that without him you can do absolutely nothing for the house of God. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withered. And they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. In other words, you are useless. He can't use you. Because without him, you will be able to do nothing. That's why I think we see so many works that are done in the world. Not many last a long time. In fact, some of the works that have lasted a long time, like some of these hospitals that you see, are all Christian-based. If you look at some of them, most of these hospitals that have lasted for hundreds of years, but certainly a long time, some of them are Christian-based. Christian-based hospitals. Ministries today, Salvation Army, that was started back in 1911 or 1912. That was started back in Europe. And here it is today. And the government gives them over $2 billion a year to help. That's a big ministry. We don't know the founders of that, but they certainly bore a lot of fruit. But what's the name of the William Booth? Is it William Booth?
Salvation.
Yeah. William Booth wrote a book, Fire and... It's Fire and Brimstone or something like that. And he tells the whole story how he started. Okay, his way of running a church was to bring in all the deadbeats, the prostitutes, the homeless, everybody. He used to fill his church and he used to make them soldiers in the army. Yeah, after he cleaned them up. And that's how he grew. And England grew with them because the Queen of England recognized his ministry. Even the fact the Queen of England marched in a parade right down the lane, right down in front of Salvation Army, and and with her were prostitutes, with the Queen of England at that time. So you know, can I get a? I'm getting a sniffle. If you abide in me, and listen what he says here. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. When he said my words, he's saying my words have power. Not your words. My words have power. So when you, like just like Aida said last month, when you use God's word to make a prayer, when you pray God's word, in a prayer, he is answering his word. That's why you gotta use his word. He says, Father, you said in your word, if my words abide in me, I will ask whatever I desire and it shall be done for me. See, you gotta take those words and put them in your own mouth and then make them personal. He says, Father, you said if you abide in me, which you do, and my words abide in you, I will ask whatever I desire and it shall be done for me. For me. Just make that personal for yourself. Take the prayer of God and make it personal for yourself. And God will answer His word to you. He will answer your prayer. He is not far from you. And it says here, by this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit. The name of Jesus is so powerful. The name of Jesus is so powerful that God will move heaven and earth for you to bring an answer to your prayer in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is this. That's it. That's the rubber stamp that we have, it is done. It is final. We are conquerors. We are victorious. We can do anything, anything through him. Because he is all powerful. Let me just go into one more. Go to Exodus 33. Hallelujah. Everybody there?
Yes.
And then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight," grace means favor or power, "in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." And then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." If God's presence does not go with you, you don't move. You don't want to go anywhere without his presence. He is saying so clear that presence, his presence will bring you rest. No matter what the situation said. Well, like I said before, when you hear those words of stage four bladder cancer, the torment, you know, all that negative stuff, it just fear comes upon you. But God, in his presence, gives you rest. And I'm telling you, it's been a year. After that first week, the next 51 weeks have been great. No, I'm saying that going through this is great. No, you don't want to have to go through this. But I'm believing and I'm believing and I'm believing in what his word says. And I'm believing in his presence because his presence is right here with me as I'm speaking to you.
Praise the Lord.
As I'm speaking to you, his presence is right here.
Amen. Thank
you. He's right here with you. Wherever you go, whatever you're doing, whatever mistake you may make, he's still right there with you. Because even when you make a mistake, and even when you do something wrong where you have to ask forgiveness for, he's quick to forgive you. Right? He's quick to forgive us. So you never have to worry. That's why you, in his presence, you're always going to have rest. You're always going to have peace. You're always going to be able to put it all back together with him. But without him, it'll be impossible for you. That's why he said, if you abide in me, and I in you, and my words abide in you. My words. So it's not just a matter of just saying words. It's a matter of saying his word, pronouncing his word over your life, over your situation, over your need, over your sickness. Whatever it is that you have, God is ready to answer it according to his word. You got to do a little homework sometimes. You got to do a little bit of homework. I mean, I was very fortunate. I had people sending me healing scriptures from everywhere. And I mean everywhere. Some people gave me books. And some people just gave me one or two sheets, and some gave me 25 sheets, and some gave me all with healing scriptures. I still have them all. And I can tell you, it is a great, it's a godsend. It is how God helps us all. It's through his word. He talks to one person, one child of God. He is obedient, he does it, and he gets it to you. Then when you're ready, then you're going to get it to somebody else. When somebody else is going through this. It's a chain that continues. It's a love that continues. It's a presence that continues. It's a caring that continues. from one child to another one, and to another one, and to another one. If God gives it to me, and it bears fruit in my life, then I give it to somebody else, and it bears fruit in their life. And then it bears much fruit in somebody else's life, and then in somebody else's life. Everything you learn in church is for you to take and to bear fruit somewhere else. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Everything that you have learned here is not to give it to the one that's sitting next to you, because they've already heard it here. It's for you to take it and give it to somebody else outside of this church so that you can bring him into God's house. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
You see, because his love is what everybody's looking for. His love is what everybody's looking for. People don't know what to call God anymore. They don't know what to call him. They're coming up with names now. I heard the other day they're getting rid of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. They say he's a racist. I didn't know Rudolph was a person. I mean, it's crazy. We live in a crazy world. And people are trying to take God. They're trying to take God out of church. I mean, they're trying to take crosses off churches. I mean, what else are they going to try? But they don't win. We win. No matter what the world does to try to get Christ out of you or try to get Christ out of your children, I mean, we don't have to go very far, do we? What are our schools teaching our children? That's why we have to be very careful with our children. Very careful with what they're learning in school. Because they want to take them away from God while you're working on getting them to God and what the church is working to do. You have got to stand up and stand for what you believe. Because in the presence of God, there is power. Only one person has to stand up in the middle of an audience and just say, hey, this is the way it is. This is not the way it's going to be. You're not going to take away this, and you're not going to do it. And before long, somebody else is going to stand up. But as children of God, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. As children of God, we should be a mouthpiece. We should be a mouthpiece to the world. We should be telling people to stand up for what's right. We should be telling them, they don't have to all be Christians, just to stand up for what's right, for what God says in His Word is right. We have to stand up as a church. We just can't sit around and say, that one said this, and I don't want to make a fuss. No, make a fuss. Because God is on your side. When you make a fuss and God is on your side, it's going to be heard. You don't know who's going to hear it, but it's going to be heard. Because when God says something through you, it's meant to do something. You may never know the repercussion of it. You may never know what's going to be done or what's going to be changed because of what you said. So I would encourage you. I would really, really encourage you. Why don't we stand? Brothers and sisters, I say that, and I don't say those words loosely. You really are my brothers and sisters. Because think of all the prayers that you have lifted up for me and my wife in our ministry. It's just awesome. And see, I don't take what God does lightly. Because 10 years ago, we didn't know you. We didn't know you, but we have become real close. And we think about you, and we pray for you, and we pray about the church. We pray the future of this church. But I'll tell you one thing. The presence of God is already here. And we have to develop it to a greater level. So that when you walk out of here, it's just the beginning. of what's out there for you. See, because His presence doesn't stay here. When all you leave, His presence is gone. There's no more presence in here when all of you leave, because the presence is in you. So when you take it, you take the presence with you. And that presence goes with you wherever you go. Never have fear. Never have fear come against you. I don't care what other people say. I don't care what they say about you. I don't care what they profess over you. You only fear one, and that's God. That's all God says. Fear me. That means honor me. And the way you honor Him is to have Him in your life. Bring Him into your every life. Not only in church, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Make sure that He's part of your life every one of those days. In some way, form, shape, or fashion. You watch. You take those 15 minutes a day to praise Him. Just to praise Him. And you watch what God's going to do in your life. I'm looking for some great reports. From great hallelujah reports. How many of you are happy? Well, I'm glad three people are happy. How many of you are happy?
Yes.
Hallelujah. It doesn't matter whether Jesus was born in December or not. He was born, period.
That's right.
Delivered, sealed, it's done.
That's right.
I don't care what people say. Well, He wasn't born in December. Well, I don't care whether He was born in December or not. It's like somebody telling me, well, you got hair, but it's curly. I don't care what it looks like. As long as I got hair.
Thank you, Lord.
I can tell you one thing, brothers and sisters.
Hallelujah.
Just love God with all your heart. All your mind and all your soul and all your being. That's what the Word says. Love Him that way. And you're going to see a big change in your life. You're going to see a big change in your life. I tell you, when it happened to me, it was a big change. And I've been in the things of God for well over 30 years. But I've never known the presence of God like I have in the last year. I have never known it like this last year. It's awesome. And I've experienced some good moves of God. Abroad and here. Blessings to all of you. I love you all. Let me pray for you. Let me just pray for them. Heavenly Father, I just want to give You the praise and glory. I want to thank You, Father, for Your presence here this morning, O precious God. I thank You, dear gracious Father, that Your Spirit has permeated the heart of every person that's in this room, Almighty God. I thank You, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is speaking to each and every one of them about Your presence with them, O precious God. I thank You that You never leave them nor forsake them, Almighty God. I thank You that You are on the ready, Almighty God, to just accept forgiveness, Father, to give them their forgiveness, to get their, just to speak into their hearts, O precious Father, with the love and the joy of the Holy Spirit, that which You are. You are everything to us, O precious God. And so I thank You, Father. I thank You, dear gracious Lord, that this morning, Father, You have spoken to each and every child in this room. And so I give You the praise for them, Father. I pray blessings upon them and everything that they say and do, O precious God. May the glory of the Lord be upon them wherever they go, O precious God. And may the strength of the living God that lives within them, O precious God, become out of them, O precious God, to bring change not only in their lives, Father, but in the lives of those around them. And so I thank You for them, Father, for each and every one of them. And I thank You, Father, for Your presence here this morning. And I thank You, Father, for Pastor Monette. Father, as she continues to lead this house, Father, down the road of Your presence, O precious God. She is a warrior for You, O precious God. She is a woman of God who is a warrior in prayer, O precious God, leading the saints of this house, Father, into the kingdom. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Thank You.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surrounded me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Let me just lead you through this very simple song. And just follow me if you know this song, to sing to God, because this is what was mentioned to us today. To make music to the Lord. Hallelujah. In your presence, that's where I am strong. In your presence, O Lord my God. In your presence, that's where I belong. Seeking your face, touching your grace. In the cleft of the rock, in your presence, O God. Let's sing it to him. In your presence, that's where I am strong. In your presence, O Lord my God, in your presence, that's where I belong. Seeking your face, touching your grace. In the cleft of a rock, in your presence, O God, and I sing praises to your name. O Lord, praises to your name. Thank you, Lord. O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. And I sing praises to your name. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Yes. Praises to your name. Oh, Lord. For his name is great. For your name. Tell it to the Lord. And greatly to be praised. And I give glory to his name. I give glory to your name. Oh, Lord Jesus, you deserve it, Lord. Yes, hallelujah. Glory to your name. Oh, Lord, for your name is and greatly to be praised. Your name is great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah, Lord. We sing praises to your holy name, Lord Jesus. Worthy of our praise, O God. Hallelujah, Lord. For you are the God of grace and the God of truth, Lord Jesus.
You are the strength of our lives, oh God. You're the one that came for us, Lord Jesus. You became flesh and dwelt among us, oh God. And there's none like you, Lord God. There's none like you, Lord God. In your presence, Lord, there is rest. In your presence, there's strength for today and hope for tomorrow. We thank you, Lord God, that you are alive, Lord Jesus. You rose from the dead, seated at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us. That even at this moment, Lord Jesus, as we remember you, God, you are alive. You came and died for us that we may have life. A powerful testimony from your servant today to be reminded of what our faith in you, Lord Jesus, does for us. Our eternal destiny secured. To know that Jesus, because you died on that cross, you conquered sin and death. There's nothing to fear, not even death. For the Apostle Paul, with his own words, as inspired by your Spirit, when he said, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." You're the God that in your hands our lives are. In your hands our times are held, God. You are the God of our future, Lord. You're the God who called us by name. You are the God who has given us purpose and meaning in life, not just to exist, but to live our days, all the days of our lives, knowing you, loving you, and serving you, God. We thank you, Father God, that as you are stretching forth your mighty hand upon everyone in this congregation, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that what you have promised is that, Lord, what you have started in our lives, God, you will finish it and complete it. You never leave things undone. And to you once more, we surrender our lives, God. A day that we can recommit our lives to you. To know that, God, as we ask, Lord God, may we live our lives with purpose and meaning according to your purpose and plan. Like what Pastor Lou shared to us, he wanted, Lord God, he wants that all the days of his life be found serving you, God. May that be the desire of all of our hearts, God. No matter what our age, no matter what our condition, Lord God, because our physical limitations do not limit you, Lord God. For we trust in the power of your Spirit, Lord God, that gives us this vitality, Lord God, the energy, Lord God, not just in our physical bodies, but God, even spiritually, to know that the power of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus is at work in all of us, oh God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, we bless your name, Lord Jesus. Worthy are you, Lord, of our praise, oh God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Lord, this Sunday, Lord God, is different from any other Sundays, God. Even as we remember and partake communion today, we're not going to take this lightly because, Lord, the significance of it is, Lord, we are to appropriate the blessings that you've intended for us as your people, God. That through your death, Lord Jesus, through the blood that you shed on that cross, our sins have been forgiven. We are now a new creation in Christ. Made righteous before your sight, that we have this divine connection with you, that anywhere we go, we have access to your throne of grace through his blood. And the broken body of our Lord Jesus, nails that were pierced in your hands and feet, a spear that went through your side, your broken body, Lord Jesus, you suffered and died that we may have life. And we are forever thankful, grateful for the cross. So, Lord, even as we partake this, before we partake this communion, we would like to come to you in this humble prayer to say thank you, Father God, for Jesus. Thank the Father God for Jesus right now. And we thank you, Lord, oh God, for the hope that we have in you. Jesus Christ is our living hope. Yeah. Hallelujah. Our firm foundation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As even the elements would be passed on, we take this moment, God, and say thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you, Jesus, for your obedience to the Father's plan to die on that cross. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us revelation and understanding that we may know of what Jesus has actually done for us. That we will be forever grateful and forever blessing and praising his name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray as we call on the ushers. As the elements are being distributed, let's just thank God for this time. Hallelujah. Begin to thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
To your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. And I sing praises to your name, oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh, Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. We give glory to your name. Oh, Lord, glory to your name. Oh, your name is great and greatly to be praised. We give glory to your name. Your name, Lord God. Great name, yes, to, yes, we praise. Worship to your name. Oh, Lord, worship to your name. Oh, Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. Yes, we give honor to, yes, let's lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Yes, oh God, to your name. Oh, Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, your name is great. Is great and greatly to be praised. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, thank you, Lord. We honor your name, Lord Jesus. Your name that is above all names. And you are the Word of God. As I read this portion of the scriptures before we partake our communion, for I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you.
The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you and I proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Thank you, Lord God, for this blessed time. We're gathered here, Lord God, to remember you, Lord Jesus, and what you have done and accomplished at that cross. That, Lord, the benefits are also for us now, today. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your broken body and your most precious blood that you shed on that cross. That through your death, now we have life. And that, Lord, we thank you that, Lord, even as we do this, Lord God, partake of communion, we are making a powerful proclamation of your death until you come, Lord Jesus, the blessed hope that we have in you. That now, because we accepted you, Jesus, now we are born again. We are children of God. We belong to your unshakable kingdom, O God. And that, God, we belong to you forever. We worship you today, Lord Jesus, as our Savior, as our Lord and our soon coming King. As we partake this bread, we thank you, Lord. And as we partake this cup later on, we remember your finished work at the cross. We have the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, O God, we have wholeness in our lives, even in our bodies, O God. In our minds, in our emotions. Lord, oh God, strengthening us spiritually, that forever, God, we'll be focused doing what you have called us to do as a people of God. And so, Lord, we thank you and we honor you today as our Lord and Savior as we partake the bread, thanking him for his broken body. Thank you, Lord, as we partake the bread. Cup that represents your most precious blood. Through your blood, Lord Jesus, we have access to the throne of grace. That through your blood, Lord Jesus, we have overcome Satan. By the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you that, Lord, you declare that we are more than conquerors. Through you who loved us, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not sickness, not physical needs, nor diseases. We are yours forever. Thank you for loving us so much, God. We give you praise in his holy name as we partake the cup. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise. Please be seated for a while. You know, the Word of God reminds us that we need to share good things with those who teach the Word of God to us. You know, 10 years, Pastor Lou, Pastor Aida. And we are grateful for this connection, this how we are in partnership. We're going to take a second offering for God's servant today, and then after that we're going to pray for Pastor Lou. You know, we're here for one another, and we're so blessed. It's such a blessing. We count this as one of our blessings, God's blessings upon us as a family of God, belonging, being together in the work of the Lord. As we call on the ushers, hallelujah. Praise God, let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us to serve you. You have called us by name. You have called Pastor Lou and Pastor Yi, the Lord God, to be part of the kingdom of God, that what they do, their role in the church, local church where they serve, and even part of us, God. We thank you for their lives, and God, even as we take this second offering to honor you first, and even as we bless your servant, God, we thank you that, Lord God, that our lives have been connected, God, according to your purpose and plan, And we thank you that, Lord, oh God, as we do this, as unto you, that, Lord, you would bless your servant indeed, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, praise God. Let's give us unto the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God forevermore. Amen. How many of you were so blessed and so ministered today? Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know that prayer works? That prayer has power. Amen. And so we're going to invoke God's healing power. The wholeness, and we are declaring that upon Pastor Lou today. Amen. Pastor Lou, praise God. As we call on the elders, can I call on Brother Nelson, Sister Sally, Brother Rowell? Yeah. Okay. Praise God. Let's all rise up, please, and extend your hands. And also, Pastor Yita, can you come with me? I'm going to pray for you too. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father God. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace today. First of all, thanking you, Lord God, for your presence in our lives, that, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we can come together to be in agreement, Lord God, that, Lord, oh God, today we invoke, Lord God, the power of God, the healing power of our Lord Jesus upon our Pastor Lou, Lord God. Lord, you have seen him throughout this year, so God, and that, Lord, your enabling power, your grace is still upon his life, even today, even for his tomorrows, oh God. Today, Lord God, as a family of God, we thank you for his life. We thank you, Father God, for his obedience to your call upon his life, oh God. Here he is, oh God, so ready, Lord God, that nothing can stop him, Lord God, doing, Lord God. Not even the enemy, Lord God, can stop it because your purpose in his life prevails, oh God, in Jesus' name. And so, Father God, as we lay hands on him, we are already thankful, Father God, for the wholeness, oh God, from the crown of his head down to the soles of his feet, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord, oh God. The numbness will be gone. And we thank you, Father God, for the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus that's able to bring wholeness upon his body, God. Father God, we thank you. We thank you that, Lord, even today, you used him to be your mouthpiece for us to be reminded of the value of the presence of God in our lives, God. That, Lord, even for him, that, Lord, oh God, in moments wherein the enemy might put doubts or things in his mind, Lord God, your spirit is so quick to displace those thoughts, oh God. But his mind and heart is filled, oh God, with your word, with your promises that you are with him all throughout, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Father God, we also thank you for Pastor Ayida, Lord God, as a wife, oh God, we thank you also for your grace and strength upon her. That together, Lord God, here they are, together serving you, God, that your hedge of protection upon their lives, oh God. Lord, oh God, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers them, their children, Lord, their sons, their grandchildren, oh God. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. And above all, oh God, the call that you have placed upon their lives, bearing much fruit in the expansion of your kingdom. Provide for their needs, oh God. Thank you, Father God. And we bless you today. And we thank you for their lives, oh God, that they're part of us. We love them, God, because it is your love flowing through us for them, oh God, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is what church is all about. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let's all rise up, please. Praise God. For the final blessings, and we're going to worship the Lord together. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's thank the Lord together once more. Amen. Father God, we thank you for what you have done in our midst today. We thank you for filling our hearts with every good thing that comes from your hand. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing and revealing Jesus to us every day and every moment of our lives. That our faith in you, Lord Jesus, is a, is a gift that we should nurture and value, God. We thank you, Father God, for renewing our minds and our hearts today to believe that, God, you are with us, that there's nothing to fear for your presence, Lord God. In your presence, Lord, there's peace, there's rest. For the joy of the Lord is our strength, O God. We thank you, Lord, O God, for your word that you have reminded all of us, the need for us to abide in your words.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Holy Spirit, for the understanding and revelation you've given us all. Father God, that as you bless us, O God, as you strengthen us, God, we pray that when we leave this place, you would use us to be your messengers and extensions of your love and grace and share the gospel to many who need Jesus in their lives. We commit to you, Lord God, even our time together, Lord God, the fellowship, even when we partake the meal or lunch together, God, that your presence is in our midst always, God, lifting up each other, encouraging one another, God, even in our conversation, that, Lord, our speech will be seasoned, O God, always exalting our Lord Jesus, magnifying his name, that people will be drawn even with the way we talk and speak, O God. And thank you, Father God, that as you bless your people, O God, with strength and wisdom, God, for what lies ahead, may all the blessings you've given us, may we remember you and give you the glory all the time, God. And so, Father God, we thank you. We give you the highest praise that you alone deserve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise. God bless you all. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.